Well, in exactly 8 weeks, the body tasked with regenerating Derry, Ilex, will be wound up, and responsibility for its prized asset, Everington, will be handed over to Stormont before eventually ending up in the hands of the local council. The development of the former army base has been described by some as painfully slow. But planning permission has been approved on the site for a hotel, cafes and an office space. So will the changes in administration breathe new life into the site, or will it still be dogged by red tape? Our reporter Teresa Craig has been finding out.
BBC Radio 1's Big Weekend 2013, Derry Londonderry.
The former army base at Everington has played host to thousands of people in the last few years.
It's good to give like Derry a boost because there's so much like talk about it, and it's just really good to like have everything that brings everyone together.
It's in stark contrast to how quiet the square is today. It's quiet with the exception of a few people making their way to and from the Peace Bridge. And that has added to the frustration of some that not enough is being done with the old military base, which spreads across 26 acres.
I suppose it's a shame that all the buildings are sitting empty, really, you know.
Well, it's nice to see it actually being done up a little bit. We've got a new cafe there. There's always workmen about, but the thing is that it doesn't seem to be happening quick enough.
Well, it's great for events and that, but I don't think it's getting used enough. You can see yourself that it's not just for people walking by like, and using it as access to the Peace Bridge and that. It's great, but other than that, there's not enough events.
People.
Need more people.
People help.
My background, I'm a historian. We don't have a maritime museum and we don't have a railway museum. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is a bit of an indictment, really, on the city fathers and others who have a stakeholder in the process.
This was the original stable block here in World War One, and we've also kept one of the walls. This is the Stanford Wall, which is a historical wall, and you can see the rings on the wall where the horses used to be tied here.
For some, progress hasn't come fast enough. But how do business owners feel? I ask one trader at a newly opened cafe.
I am Yvonne Freel, and I'm from Cafe Ollie's on the square in Everington. It's doing extremely well. It's gone higher than our expectations would for the month of January. We opened at the beginning of December, and week on, we've been taking on more staff.
There's been frustration in the past and criticism levelled at Ilex because there's not enough happening fast with development. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts? Do you think more should be done?
It's all about business, and it obviously needs to generate a lot more.
What would you like to see out there to generate your business?
Well, I'd like to see more diversity coming onto the square.
There's also been criticism in the past that red tape and bureaucracy has made it difficult to get started here. James Huey is from the Walled City Brewery.
We said it needed to be open within 4 or 5 months, and it ended up being just under 12 months. So that was very frustrating. But we kind of saw firsthand what were the levels of bureaucracy that was involved in terms of opening a building here. Eventually they did push quite strongly to get it through, and we were just on the tipping point sort of maybe leaving, but it opened then in May.
Planning approval came last month for more development at the site, providing for space which would include a hotel, cafes, restaurants and commercial office space. Ilex chairman Philip Flynn welcomed the move last month. The company has come under much criticism in the past, but as it prepares to wind up in the coming weeks, is there more confidence as responsibility is handed over to OFM DFM for an interim period? Ilex has come under huge criticism for the development here, or the lack of development here.
Yeah.
Are you optimistic or confident that the office of the First Minister and Deputy First Minister, they're going to be any better? They're going to do any better or quicker a job?
I can't see anything happening a lot quicker. Ilex, yes, we're slow, but I mean, as you see here at this place, I mean, wow, I look around me now and it is a wow space.
It's a stunning space.
But yes, we'd all like to see it happen a lot quicker, but we know the way government and funding is, and everything seems to happen slow.
The Guildhall clock, the chimes have just gone off. As time runs out for Ilex, do you think it's better the devil you know, perhaps? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I would say most definitely, yeah.
The potential's there.
You just need to seize it,
yeah,
grasp it. As Ilex now winds down and OFM-DFM takes over,
yes.
Do you think that will make a difference?
I don't know if this crowd's going to be any better, but we'll have to wait and see.
Are you sitting on that fence, do you think?
I'm going to sit on that fence, aye.
As Teresa Craig reporting there. And listening to that is the Deputy First Minister, Sinn Féin's Mark McGuinness, and the SDLP MP for Foyle, Mark Durkin. Good morning to you both, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. Mark McGuinness, I'll start with you. We heard there in Teresa's report, people believe the potential's there, the people aren't. What does the future hold for Edmonton now? It will fall under the stewardship of your office.
Well, ILEX has faced its own challenges in the past. And of course, I want to express my appreciation to all those who worked in ILEX over what was a very difficult period with the worst economic downturn that the world has ever seen. But that's in the past. I think that the future for Edmonton is very bright. We've actually moved officials from my department, the Office of First and Deputy First Minister, onto the site, and a specialist from the Strategic Investment Board. And I think there has been a step change since we have done that.
What are those changes, do you think? What will be different now that your office will have the control over the site? Development move more quickly?
Well, I mean, since we took control of it, there are five new projects in the pipeline. We're spent £1.5 million over the course of the next couple of weeks. New high-performance training facility for triathletes, extensions to the restaurant, facilities for older people, new roads, lighting and footpaths. And we have put to the finance department what we hope will see a business case, which will see the construction of two new Grade A office buildings on the site. We'll spend in mixed expenditure something like £12.5 million. And the purposes of that is to put hundreds of people into jobs on the sites.
But how long will that take?
Well, that'll be constructed by 2018, which is rapid progress, I think, given that the business case will be sorted with finance by the end of this month.
So in your view, things are moving and they're moving in the
right direction. I'm very optimistic about the future. I mean, there's very strong expressions of interest from 24 different entities. And I do believe that the effort that has now been made to recognise the importance of developing the site in the interest of the people of this city is, people at executive level have got it. I also think that, Arlene Foster coming from west of the band, working with myself, we appreciate what needs to be done in terms of the perception that there is about Belfast. And the fact that we're going to hold a meeting of the executive in Fermanagh, in Enniskillen, and a meeting of the executive here in Derry over the course of the next number of weeks is a very clear signal. It's a declaration of our intent to address the perceptions that are out there.
That is a point, because people, certainly our listeners this morning, and you know the argument, they feel that the will isn't there. But I want to bring in Mark Durkin at this point. According to the Deputy First Minister, the future's bright for Edmonton.
Well, I would hope that it is bright for Edmonton. We want it to be bright.
Can it be under the powers of OFM-DFM?
Well, first of all, it's not planned to stay under the power, so-called, of OFM-DFM for that long. But let's remember, too, it has been under the powers of OFM-DFM for all the years, because that's the department that holds the site, because that was the way in which the site was transferred at the time. I negotiated the idea of the site being transferred and it coming into use. The problem was then the executive that agreed that deal as part of the reinvestment and reform initiative was then suspended.
Well, that's
within
the argument,
a few months.
Isn't the fundamental problem is there are too many people involved.
Yes, and the decisions on how ILEX was set up were taken then by Direct Rule Minister. I disagreed with the model that was set up because I thought it was going to be bogged down in red tape, and every time there were reviews of ILEX and consultations about it, I made that point that it needed to be on a different setup. It needed to be freer from bureaucracy, from OFM, DFM and from DSD in the way in which it was. So it needed to move. The fact is, we all complained about the slowness of development at Ebrington, but we all understand what the conditions were, both internally with red tape and externally in terms of the market. But the fact is, Ebrington has become a site that is just absolutely ripe with opportunity, and a lot of that is thanks to ILEX, and a lot of things that Martin has said that are now in the pipeline, they haven't just come about since there was an announcement made about the future of ILEX.
Well, what would you say
were all there in the pipeline and going forward, and we have to take them forward.
What would you say to Mr. McGuinness then this morning about what you want to see happen next at Ebrington? What would you say to him?
Well, we need to clarify, first of all, exactly what is happening next so that it doesn't stay for longer than is planned, because it's meant to be in a holding position with OFM-DFM and then going on to council. We need to make sure we plan that development, that
is
change
there a
line
danger
well.
There as well, and with that kind of temporary...
And that those governance changes aren't getting in the way of real physical development and economic
isn't
development.
Isn't there a danger, though, Mr. Durkin, that sort of temporary arrangement, there is that potential there that businesses can get worn out with trying to get their business to fruition? Things can slip through the cracks very easily.
Yeah, and that's why we need to create more certainty around that, so that we don't have the site bogged down in red tape, that those who are managing the site aren't caught in the way Ilex were of not being able to talk to people who were talking to them from the market and say, well, we can't tell you that because we have to get approval from somebody else and we're being blocked. We're not allowed to do this. We can't talk to you on our own. We can't whatever. That's what has held that site back. So it needs to move forward, and uncertainty about governance shouldn't get in the way of creating certainty and confidence about what's going to happen that site.
As you can both imagine, we're getting a lot of comments about this morning, so I'm just going to run through and just give you both a flavour of what people are saying. One listener says, time for the council to step up along with our local politicians. We have to do it for ourselves. Belfast isn't going to help us. Our politicians should hang their heads in shame, this listener says, not to mention Ilex. Great site with very little achieved in 13 years since that handover in 2003. I'll just put this point to you, Mr. McGuinness. This listener says, sadly, handing over to WFMDFM, I feel, means continued neglect, as the Belfast-based civil service couldn't give a monkey's about the regeneration of anywhere outside Belfast. And I'm sure the FM and DFM will trot out platitudes this side of the election. How do you respond to that sort of thought, that opinion?
Well, first of all, the ILEX organisation was set up by direct rural ministers. There was no devolved institution for a number of years until 2007. What I say to that is that what we have to do is, rather than being negative, we have to be positive about the future. This is a decisive move, and I have been at the heart of this move.
But people feel ignored. People, you know, people feel the Northwest is ignored.
Well, I mean, you used the word platitude. In the recent budget which we passed £130 million for the beginning of the first phase of the A6. We've since had taken a decision on the Dungiven bypass, 2018. We've taken the decision on the first stage of the A5, £150 million. And of course, we're spending something like over £200 million on what will be the best hospital in anywhere on this island, Alton Galvin Hospital, with the radiotherapy unit and a new wing. So there is a lot of things being done. Yes, difficulty around Edmonton, but I believe that the future for all of us is to work together, me working with Mark working with me, us working with the City Council, because Mark is absolutely right. The future governance of all of this is going to be of critical importance. But that can only happen, that transfer can only happen whenever the Council are ready to do that. In the meantime, I, in the Office of First and Deputy First Minister, am going to drive forward the future regeneration of Edmonton, and we'll be judged on the results at the end of that.
Okay, and just, could you respond to the overall comment there, Mr. Durkin, that politicians should hang their head in shame along with Ilex?
Yeah, well, I think different choices should have been made. I said all along, Ilex was set up. It was set up on the wrong model. I said it right from the start, as the person who negotiated the transfer of Ilex. Whenever direct rural ministers made the decision about how Ilex was shaped, I said it was wrong. There were reviews then under devolution, and I said it should be put on a different model. The decision was taken by OFM, DFM and others not to put it on a different model and to keep it encumbered the way it is. Now, that's all past frustration, hopefully. We now have, thanks to Ilex and others, that that site is on the verge of moving forward. There are a lot of projects in the pipeline that have been done by Ilex. Also, let's remember, Ilex has done other good things. The Peace Bridge wouldn't have really happened if it hadn't been for Ilex. Also, in the city, we ended up asking Ilex to do things that weren't actually part of its core business. The Integrated Development Fund was £50 million for the North. Derry got over £30 million of that, thanks to work that was done by Ilex, outside of its brief, but asked by others. So let's not understate what Ilex has contributed. Let's, yes, say wrong decisions were made in and around how Ilex was encumbered. The site isn't developed as well as it should be now, but it can be. It needs to go forward, and we all have to get behind taking that forward, because it's going to put a new heartbeat into the city.